You've planned your wedding, and now let the real fun begin creating your registry. The Crate and Barrel Wedding Registry is packed with thousands of items that are made to see you through a lifetime of breakfast in bed and Thanksgiving family dinners. And whether you need an upgrade across the board or come to the table with some items you already love, our registry experts are there for you every step of the way. Plus, now with group gifting, your friends and family can go in together on that dream gift. Petri sofa, anyone? So go for it. Start your Crate and Barrel registry now at crateandbarrel.com/wedding-registry.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast. It's Ashley. Ben won't be joining us for a little while, but he will be here, I promise you. Until then, I have my friends Evan Bass and Carly Waddell on the podcast with me. We're going to talk about what what you guys are up to before we jump into recapping The Bachelorette. You guys do a great job live tweeting it every week. I know that's like one of Evan's passions in life, so I'm happy to have you break down the episode with us. Awesome. So before we got on air, I was talking to them about wedding planning and how hectic it's been the past couple weeks, because it's just the small little details and it's like, oh, you forgot that. Oh, you forgot that. And then Evan said it was like, that's like having a kid. Mm-hmm. And how is that so?
the money, it's just like your wallet has got a hole in it and it just doesn't come back. It's like, dad, I have money for this and this and this and this and this and this, and then it just keeps going.
And then
going.
I just buy all the things for Bella, so.
Yeah, and especially if then they're like extracurricular activities, it's like, you know, soccer and then, and you know, you're like, oh, it's like, you know, $150 for the soccer fee. That's fine. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, but I need new cleats every single season.
And then you're like, oh, this Disney princess doll is cute. I have to get this one too. She doesn't have a Snow White, but she does have a Cinderella. But what's another Cinderella? Everybody needs two Cinderellas.
And how many times is too many times to go to Disneyland?
The limit does not exist.
Oh, see, I think the limit on Disneyland absolutely exists.
What?
It's like once a year.
No.
And I don't know, maybe I'm an adult, but every time you go with a kid, they don't appreciate it. They just whine and cry the entire time and complain, and there's the lines, and the food is astronomically expensive.
And not
you only get to ride two or three rides the entire day because of the lines.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant? So you guys like you just enjoy it fully?
Well, I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, no, you're right about the rides. You end up doing
you're
two.
You're actually right about everything you said. we just kind of overlook it because we're walking around with huge smiles on our faces, even if our kids are squirmy and mad and need a nap.
Yeah.
But you don't do it for Bella at this age. I can see you guys doing it for the boys. Mm-hmm. The boys that are
that's
at a great
not
age.
True. No, we will show her these pictures until the end of time. Look at, remember this
Look,
time
we were such good parents.
Yeah,
that's true though. I have pictures from when our first trip to Disney World. I must have been 5 and Lauren was maybe 2, and the pictures are adorable and they stay with me forever. Like, I feel like I remember the trip because
exactly.
The pictures.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, does Bella, like, can you see a reaction from her at
yes.
this point? Like, what she does get, like, mesmerized by and what she doesn't?
Well, it's mostly fear of the people that are dressed up in costumes.
Yeah. We haven't done, like, the big, like, expensive things at Disney, which are, like, the lunches with all the princesses and things like that, because that's just, we want to do that when she, like, will remember it. But
right.
She likes It's a Small World, and one day I made the mistake of saying, Bella, go and choose a princess plush doll off of this rack, and then she chose like 4, and I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
So don't do that with the kid. Don't say, just choose, have your way, because they will get them all.
She totally understands that statement, go choose what you want.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's only a year and a half, you guys.
Bella gets whatever she wants until she doesn't. But right now, she gets whatever she wants.
Oh, God.
That's adorable. Does she get preferential treatment because she's the girl of the bunch of, you have 3 sons, Liam, Ensley, and Nathan. And then there's Bella.
Does
she get like all the special girly treatment?
Everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything. Those boys will do anything for her. Mostly because whenever they walk into a room, she like lights up and freaks out and like just. Is just so happy to see that.
Yeah, she like squeals.
And it's like the cutest thing you've ever seen. We really need to get that on video somehow.
We should.
Like her like high-pitched squeal when she sees those boys walk in the room. It's so cute.
That is so cute.
I know. I love it.
So cute. You guys, you have a couple things going on. One being there's a new baby in Carly's belly.
Oh, yeah. It's moving around.
You know the sex of that baby, right?
Yes, but Evan's keeping it the secret hostage.
I know. So you guys were telling me at our Crate and Barrel bridal shower a couple weeks ago that Evan insists on having a gender reveal party just for the boys. Have the boys had this gender reveal party yet?
No.
Look.
Is it ever going to happen?
I
don't know.
Was that 2 weeks ago, really?
No, it wasn't 2 weeks ago. It was a few weeks ago. It was probably like a month.
Look,
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe a month.
Wow, that long. Okay.
I don't know that this is ever going to happen, but until then, I'm sworn to secrecy.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Maybe.
Why have you not made plans for it yet?
Oh, I'm making plans. I'm just waiting on permits and certain approval.
This guy.
I'm not even filming this thing. It's going to take freaking 3 different things, groups of people to approve. And it's just
government. He can't do anything small or boring,
yeah,
as you know.
Well,
it's gotta
be
epic.
That being said, you guys did witness maybe the most epic gender reveal, what Jared and I did for Jade and Tanner on our YouTube reality show, What Now? You guys all listening can go and watch how Jade and Tanner found out that they were having a boy this time around on the show, What Now? And Carly and Evan were there, and Evan must have seen that and been like, all right, well, I have to beat this plane thing. And yeah, you're right. We had to sign a lot of papers for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You challenged him and he's taken the challenge.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I can't say no to.
Ashley, what do you think we're having? Obviously, I'm not going to tell you yes or no, but what is your inclination?
My gut says you're having a boy.
Oh, man. That's what you felt about Jade, too.
Yeah, I know.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah,
are you
psychic?
Like a strong
feeling. I don't know. Okay, well, I'll find out soon enough, I hope.
Maybe. Gosh, unless it comes out before we ever actually do this thing. We'll find out in November.
November is the due date.
Yeah,
November 14th.
How is it with the second kid together rather than, you know, the first? Because are you like just more stressed? You're more relaxed. You're less stressed. You're more relaxed. Do you do less planning? Is like the nursery not a thing?
Oh, yeah, it's not. I mean, all of the, you know, you have all the stuff from the first baby. So at least that's in there. But no, it just sits there. I don't know when that room will get done or if it ever will. I don't know. I mean, really, the baby is just like in the bassinet next to your bed for like a year anyway. So
right.
You don't use that room for anything till the baby's like one, unless you move it over early.
Is it like just Instagram fodder at this day and age? Like people just do like the full blown nursery
100%.
Just so they can show like I care about my child.
Yeah. I care about myself more right now. Like that stresses me out. I'm trying to de-stress this pregnancy.
How's this pregnancy
running
been?
You know, I mean, it started out the same way as Bella's, like
totally sick.
So sick. But I'm feeling better now. Which is really good. I'm 20 weeks this week, which is halfway. I've made it to the halfway mark. So now I just got to keep plugging along here.
You guys, Carly is like the opposite of every pregnant woman. When she gets pregnant, she gets like skinny and she's just,
seriously?
Well, you're so always weird. Beautiful, but like you are like a Bella vampire when you are pregnant.
This is why, because I don't drink. Like the only reason I ever gain weight is not from eating. It's from drinking because I love wine. So when I'm pregnant and don't drink, there's no like, and it's just been hard for me to eat because I've been nauseous. But I did eat a whole pizza today. That is
You like
true.
Wine more than food?
Yes.
No, that's mind-boggling to me.
100%.
I do not understand.
Yes.
Ugh. I almost wish that's how I was.
Yeah, I really love wine. It's just like, it has my heart and my liver.
Have you tried Caitlin Bristow's new wine yet?
No,
oh,
because
you can.
I can't.
You haven't.
I haven't
been able to.
If it was sitting in front of me, I would take a sip. I'm not that crazy. But I told her I'm very excited to try it. I hope that she came to the hospital last time when we had Bella. So I'm hoping she comes this time, and I'm hoping she brings some of that wine along.
She came to the hospital.
Isn't that so sweet?
That is so cute.
I know. She's so cute. Like, you know, Caitlin and babies, it's just, she's going to be the best mom ever.
I know.
She has like this weird like baby sense that when you don't have a baby, like, I don't even know how you get that. I did not have that. She has this little squat thing that she does that like instantly calms a baby down. And just,
oh, you know, I don't have that.
I didn't have that. I still don't think I really have that. But Caitlin, she's got it, man.
Well, when I was on your podcast, Mommy's Tell All, I was like super emotional because I was like, I don't know if I have the mom gene. Like, I'm just it's because when I see Jared with kids, he's so natural with them. He has no worry or fear. I think that I'm going to break them. I don't want to make them cry. And Jade and Carly were so nice at reassuring me that this is something I have and I'll really know it when I have the kid.
It really is so true. I didn't even like, I had really bad fear of holding other people's babies. And actually, yeah. I kind of still have that fear.
Okay, good. Because that's my thing. I don't volunteer to hold other kids.
And that's okay.
Okay.
Like, what if you drop them? It's very scary. If you drop your own kid, it's not as scary. Not that I drop my kid.
If they're going to cry, it's going to make me feel like they don't like me. And I don't want to feel unliked by a child.
I get it.
That's the ultimate determinant of like your character, right?
Although babies cry all the time. Actually, babies don't cry when Evan's around, which is super annoying. Babies cry when I'm around.
See? Yeah. That's Jared.
It's
a man thing. Well, it's also because Evan has parental experience.
That's true. Yeah. But he loves kids, and he's like really good at being like, I don't know, making the faces and
that's what Jared does.
Yeah, I can't do that. I feel silly.
You have to make it happen. You have to make them happy. You have to like will it into existence. If you don't have the dedication, you just be like, I'm going to make this baby like me, then it's hard to do. Yeah.
Evan was the only one who could calm Bella down. Like, at the beginning.
Yeah.
I just gave up. I was like, here, take my boob, and that's all I got.
You have one other thing we got to talk about before we talk about the episode. You have a new jewelry line.
Yes.
Tell us what it's called and where people can get it.
Reviver Jewelry. It is with Jade. Jade and I started this, and we have Ashley Lemieux, who has her charity, The Shine Project, and she is our third partner, but it's really cool. It's a jewelry line. It's five different words right now on a necklace, and the front says I am, and the back says five different words, but it's an empowering woman empowerment daily reminder of that you can do it, you know? Like, I feel like we tell ourselves all the time the negative things about ourselves. And we should be really putting positivity towards ourselves and towards, gosh, everybody else. So it's good for yourself. It's good for a gift. And you can find it on Reviver Jewelry on Instagram. And it's just really pretty. And
it's super pretty.
Yeah. Reach. Come on. That's
right. That photo shoot was stunning.
That was like the most I've ever felt like myself. Evan and I were just talking about this the other day. I felt like moon goddess, warrior woman. I don't know.
That's what you looked like. You looked amazing.
I felt it, man. I felt more myself than I ever had.
Yeah. Super dreamy.
So,
and speaking of dreams, wow, you were on the podcast a couple months ago promoting your album of lullabies, which is up on iTunes called Dream Train.
Yes. Man, this has been quite the year.
I know. You have so many things coming out.
Yes.
All right. We got to take a break now, and then we're going to dive into the episode. Before we move on, we got a little gift from Chris Harrison this week. Chris Harrison got something for Jared and I off our Crate and Barrel registry. Isn't that sweet? It's like the nicest, coolest statement piece mirror. It's so awesome. That reminds me, I have to write him a little bit of a thank you. But it was really cool to get a gift from Chris Harrison from our Crate and Barrel registry. I think I'm going to put it in a hallway, but Jared and I have been focusing a lot lately on our bath products from our Crate and Barrel registry. See, it's been a really stressful time with wedding planning. It's been all the little details and all the invoices. So having me time is more important than ever. So having that nice time, like while I take a bath or a shower, having nice fluffy Turkish towels and like this nice expensive feeling rug and the softest bath mat makes my everyday a little bit more enjoyable. everything in our bathroom just looks like more presentable. So thanks to all the everything in our bathroom looks so much more presentable because of the items that we've gotten from our Crate and Barrel registry for our bathroom. I'm not embarrassed anymore to have people be like, where's your bathroom? Can I use your bathroom? Yeah, it's over there. And it's like, it smells nice. We got the nicest candles. We have a nice assortment of spa products that you can also get at Crate and Barrel, which is shocking. I know people don't think of getting shampoos, lotions, candles at Crate and Barrel, but you can. And we have all these nice little dispensers for them. It looks like a little hotel, like a cozy little Airbnb or just a bed and breakfast. So it makes me feel really good. You can start your Crate and Barrel registry right now at crateandbarrel.com/wedding-registry. Again, if you are an engaged person out there and you're all stressed because of all the wedding planning, make your bathroom a little place for you and start your Crate and Barrel registry now at crateandbarrel.com/wedding-registry.
Listeners, you've heard us talk about it a ton. And it's one of the products that we love the most. It's called Sleep Number. I've slept on a Sleep Number since college, and I think it's fantastic. I have a great, really healthy back, and I contribute it not to anything more or less than Sleep Number. Maybe you've considered Sleep Number bed, but thought you couldn't afford one. But can you really afford to be tossing and turning in your old mattress, compromising your sleep? There's never been a better time to save on proven quality sleep. It's the lowest prices of the season right now at your near Sleep Number store. You need to feel the difference, though. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number 360 smart beds let you choose your ideal firmness on each side, so it's just right for the both of you. The Sleep Number 360 smart beds are so smart. They sense your every move and automatically adjust to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. Sleep Number has been ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. Come in during the lowest prices where Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed is now only $1,299. Save $400. Only, though, for a limited time. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest to you at sleepnumber.com/Ben. That's sleepnumber.com/Ben.
Okay. Carly and Evan.
Yes.
What was your biggest takeaway from the episode? I have two that I really feel like we have to dive into.
Evan.
But I want your opinions first.
None of the men are listening to Hannah. That's okay. My biggest takeaway.
That's sad.
Okay. Yes, because they continue with the drama.
Yeah. I mean...
No, they're just like in these one-on-one conversations, like she's like, hey, I want you to open up. And they're like, yes, I would love to open up. That would be a great idea to open up. But then they just don't. And it's like,
well,
except for Tyler. I think Tyler's doing it. But I was like, I've thought this has been the best group of guys since like Jared's season. And now this week I was a little bit disappointed in them.
You said Jared's season. No, you didn't even include your own season.
No, I absolutely true.
But you are absolutely correct. For all you out there listening, if you don't remember, Evan was from JoJo's season. I do think that JoJo's season may have been the most lacking in quality men in our recent times.
I tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
We got you and Wells. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
You guys are the most like memorable people from that season, and you were eliminated quite early on.
I don't remember.
I mean, other than Jordan. I like Jordan very much.
Yeah, Jordan's a fantastic.
So we're not including Jordan in this. He was the winner.
He's the real MVP.
Yeah.
So you think that guys aren't opening up? Sometimes I do feel like that's like a very hard thing. Like, I want you to open up. It's like, well, what about what? It's like ask specific questions and then people will give you genuine answers.
I agree with that.
No, I feel like they're more in, right now they're in that. I just don't think anyone's like feeling it with Hannah. I just feel like they're just sitting there and, you know, sort of parroting back what they want her to hear, but we're not getting a lot of dialogue, real good dialogue on the screen right now. Maybe it's happening off camera, but I just don't feel it. Like,
don't you feel like every season when we get like serious one-on-one time, it just feels like fluff and like open up. And I feel like he opened up and I'm like, well, what do you mean? I want like a direct question and a direct answer back. I feel like the word, if somebody said, Ashley, I want you to open up to me. Actually, I've been asked this by a a non-romantic character in Bachelor history in regards to me. Like, he one time said, like, I want to know you. I want you to open up. And I'm like, I literally have no idea how to respond. So what do you want to know about me?
Yeah,
you know?
Like, about what?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many things that we could talk about. What do you want me specifically to talk about? And then we can talk about that. Yeah. Right.
Like I want to know about your dating history. It's like, totally. Okay, well, I'll start from here because,
Yeah. There's a million questions that could be asked, but none of them are being asked. Like, yeah. In the date with Peter, the pilot, she was like talking about opening up, and just like Evan said, he was like, oh yeah, I would love to open up to you. Like, opening up is like the greatest thing to get to know someone. But like, honestly, there was the date at night where he talked about how he had a relationship. He didn't even delve deep into that. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, what?
You got a fair point though, Ashley. I mean, maybe that's just, we're just not seeing it, but I feel like the idea of love is the big, what everyone's in love with right now.
Okay.
That's what it seems like.
I just feel like opening up has become a Bachelor cliche. And even if we get answered, like even if we see them open up, of course, we only get to see 15 minutes of the date. And we know how long the dates actually are and how you actually do connect on these dates. But you barely get to see the best parts of them. Mm-hmm. I just got word that we have Ben on the line.
Yes.
Ben!
What's up, everybody?
Yay, he gets a round of applause.
Guys, I'm super pumped to be talking to you. I'm sorry I'm a little late. I had to travel back to Indiana to my hometown to spend the 4th of July here.
Oh, that's
we're
cute.
Both,
that's awesome.
We're both in our hometowns for 4th of July. That's so sweet. Aww. Anyway,
hey, Carly Devin, you're taking over.
Listen.
Ben, we were just talking about the cliches of opening up on the show, but we haven't really gotten into the details of this episode, like the steamy sauna makeout between Hannah and Peter. We haven't gotten to the naked bungee jumping or, of course, the Luke P drama this week that was really brought upon by the Garrett naked date. So let's go chronological order here and start with the Peter date. I think we all like Peter. We think he's a sweet Ben Higgins-like man. And I feel like he continues to prove to be more and more Ben-like every week. There's just that boyish charm about him, a genuine sweetness. He's very wholesome and Americana. And I definitely see him being the next Bachelor if he doesn't end this thing with Hannah. What'd you guys think about that date?
I want to start this real quick. How does a guy, now I'm a huge Peter fan. I think we all are, but here is a unique dynamic that we see in this show or in life in general. Peter is a wholesome. We call him wholesome. We think he's sweet.
He gets down in the sauna.
Yeah.
Dirty.
But yet we might even refer to him as like innocent. Yet he gets this sauna scene, and I still view him the same way, innocent, sweet, and wholesome. How does that work?
What is that? I have no idea. It's his face and the way
it's
he
his
speaks.
Face. Yeah. Well, and he doesn't, I mean, he's sweet, but he doesn't say much. He keeps it very, like, even keel. So there's nothing, I don't know. Like, if he said a statement that was like,
he's careful with his words. Yeah. Like Ben. He's good at choosing words.
We just know that he likes flying planes.
Yeah, well, he does really like that.
So let me be the devil's advocate for all of us on this, because I think this is an interesting conversation and one that I wanted to bring up this week. I step into this podcast at a time where you all are talking about fluff and that you're not really finding out anything about these guys, because I'm under the impression and I believe that on this show, you could make it for most of the whole experience without ever saying anything of meaning to anybody. You can dance around issues. You can say the right thing. You can have a bunch of hour-long conversations and act like you care. At some point, that catches up with you. Every season it does, and it will. But with Peter, you're saying things like, and again, I'm a Peter fan, but you're saying things like, he says the right things. He chooses his words carefully. He doesn't say a lot. Isn't that what you were just complaining about, where we're not really finding out anything, but yet he is a fan favorite?
You know what? I think I've expressed this frustration before. I have explained this frustration before, and I'm falling for it, I suppose. Carly and I totally weren't the people saying the right things. We said a lot of controversial things. People didn't always like us. At the end of the day, for the majority of Bachelor Nation, I feel like they came... They had a liking for us, but it wasn't like we got through easy.
Right.
And I think we are like people who... I have to say are kind of fun and interesting to watch because we aren't always perfect, but we're never the most beloved, like the Ben Higgins, like the Peters, who do always say the right thing and never mess up. It's a different kind of like.
Yeah.
That's true. And it might even open us up to, I would say that when you try to say the right thing for long enough,
you get boring.
When you finally, well, yes, you get boring, but you also, when you do say one thing wrong, then everybody reacts in an overdramatic way, right? So
totally.
We kind of have this thing in politics right now, right? Where if you say the wrong thing often enough, you stop caring and nobody really ever criticizes you because they just expect it out of you. But
that's true.
I would say that, for example, I told two women I love them. That's a big deal. It is. It should be a big deal. People should react to that. But it's not the biggest deal. We see it almost every season now. We know that most people are feeling it. But I think because the line was set so far on the other side of doing anything wrong that when you finally do anything controversial, everybody erupts in a more dramatic way. Would you guys agree?
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. Good job, okay. Point made.
Did you
want us to go opposite you?
No. We're good. We can agree. Hey, I want to walk us through a few things here, and then I'm going to pass it off to you guys to kind of lead us to the rest. I have a few things that I'm really passionate about, and because I'm late, I'm just going to take this over because that's what I do, I guess. I walk into a conversation once again. You guys are talking about fluff. Here is my strongest opinion from this episode. Garrett has yet to tell me anything of meaning through the whole season. He talks about others. He does it as much, if not more, than Luke. He seems to be very caught up in that. He can say the right thing at the right moment. He's standing naked with Hannah, bungee jumping. That's the easiest date in the history of Bachelor world to ever do well. Like, how are you going to do that wrong? Just don't look at her too often. Don't say anything sexist or don't say anything too weird. Hold her tight and jump out of this thing. It's
Ben,
all going to work out.
I got to interrupt you.
So right.
That is so much different for a guy than a girl.
We have to talk about the appropriateness of this date. Okay, can we go into it?
Of course.
Okay. So I would never be okay with being naked on a date where I still had other guys in the competition. Actually, I would never be okay being naked unless I was like dating the guy.
How many dates they tried to make me be naked for in my bachelor?
Really?
Yes. What? The date with Crystals tried to make me be naked. The date with Evan when we painted tried to make me be naked. They're always trying to make me be naked.
There's nothing more liberating than having sex on camera, by the way.
Wow. We just went
Wait, did this happen and we didn't know about it?
Oh, you didn't. Well, you know now.
You know it was secret in one of the boom boom rooms, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, in my bedroom. Yeah.
Smiling so big right now. You guys. So
I remember Carly talking about that sex session.
They try to make people do it. It's just a matter of if you'll do it or not.
So Hannah went on Instagram story last night and she said, I have something very secret to let you guys in on.
Oh gosh, what did she say? Did she say she had an underwear on?
Yes.
Okay, I knew it.
Oh.
I knew it too, but then they really played tricks with the camera.
Well, they didn't show that area though. They showed her upper area, but not her buttocks.
They were trying to show like high thigh on both of them to show that there wasn't any underwear there.
They're good.
They are good.
All I can think about, we've had these conversations before, and Evan, I need you to join in here because this is an area of expertise.
That is, okay.
I was watching this and I had two thoughts. One is I don't love, because I've been in this situation, that it felt to me, now I'm on the side of most of probably the normal men in the world that say, Hannah, do what you want to do. Like, this is your deal. You're dating these guys. Have fun. Go wild. Get naked.
Yeah.
For me, and I think we've talked about on the podcast before, I don't mind being naked. I think it's a fantastic, liberating experience. I don't think I'd ever want to do it on television, just for multiple reasons. It wouldn't be something I'd feel probably comfortable with or what I really want to respond to. So two thoughts. One is, I don't love how the show made it seem like she was shocked and surprised by them being naked. And it felt like we were pushing her into a corner of, are you going to get naked or not?
Totally.
I don't love that. That made me very uncomfortable. The second thought, and then I'll let you guys respond, is if I'm Garrett and I'm dating my girlfriend and she's naked in front of me and we're making out up close and personal, the things that are going to happen on like really your first date are incredibly uncomfortable. Like, I don't want, like, that is really crossing the line. Like, as a man, I don't want my first date to be that intimate. Am I wrong?
Oh, heck no. I feel very uncomfortable with a date. I don't even get naked in like spas in like a sauna.
Yeah, I don't either. It's so weird.
Yeah.
You guys are
ridiculous. Yeah. I'll be like, oh my God, there's naked women in here. That's so crazy. I can't believe everybody's so comfortable getting naked. 100%. I don't know.
I've just
always been. I know. I don't know. I just have always been very private. I grew up with a mom who like never showed me her boobies or anything like that. So
yeah, me too.
No,
yeah.
I was raised extremely like conservative as well, and but
you're
there's something.
You're a dude. It's so different.
Okay,
it's right. Different for girls and boys. We have more parts to show.
You're
off.
Totally right. You're totally right.
And it's not because I'm not body positive. It's not because like I don't like love my body. I actually have never had body image issues. It's just a private area for me, truly.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I totally agree that it's different for a man and a woman, but there is one thing that a man has that a woman doesn't, and you can tell when we're excited or not.
But do you think like maybe he didn't get as excited because he also was kind of scared to jump off?
That never would stop me.
What, it was freezing though, Ben. What about that? It was freezing.
It was cold,
we did have shrinkage
there was
issues.
Fear. I think maybe it. Evan, how does it work? If it's cold and there's fear, could it not get? He knows.
Yeah, I mean, like the,
he does know it.
The two cameras around and the coldness probably did not. He probably did not get it up. I mean, it's highly unlikely.
So the positive to all of
let's
this.
Let's go to the
because
tape.
Because that's, yeah, let's go to the tape. Let's get a close up. the positive to all of this, and I do agree with this moment, is they're sitting at dinner that night and he says something and she agrees. He goes, I feel like we connected and this was a very intimate day for us and we've connected more today than I ever thought we could. I agree with that. That is one thing that, you know, letting your guard down, you know, doing something like this, that's wild, that's crazy, that you're both going to laugh at. And they did well at laughing at it and just like having a good time. I do think it brought them closer together. But I'd like to then hear from your opinions on what, like, as a response, did Garrett do anything actually on this date to impress you?
Absolutely not.
I think bungee jumping in general is going to get you closer. I don't think the naked part really had much to do with it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Evan, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, there at the dinner, I was a little perturbed because she opened up and I can't remember what it was about. She was sharing. She really was like talking about being hurt or something and how hard it was. And then he just turned around and flipped it back and made it about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he literally didn't even say, like, oh, that's cool. And me, and I feel like we're getting a lot of that from some of the guys where it's like, just switches it right back to them to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm. They do that.
I don't know. It's
Garrett's
hard.
Garrett's definitely become less likable the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I'm surprised you guys say that because I watched this episode and I thought based on my limited experience is, The fans and the people are going to react in a positive way towards Garrett.
Oh,
that
sure.
He's going to become more likable from this date.
Probably. And especially since he's the you know, the good guy going against Luke, you know, I mean, that's so he is going to get more like. But, you know, from a relationship perspective, purely with Hannah, because, you know, that's why we're here. It's like I feel like
it's why we're here.
He doesn't have a chance in hell with Hannah.
I don't know. I feel like he's not the good guy against Luke. I think the good guys against Luke are the ones that aren't talking about Luke at this point.
No, I agree. I'm saying what people will perceive. Everyone will think, oh, yes, go get Luke. Take him down.
Yeah.
But no.
But then he was like creepy when he said that one thing when he was walking out the door, like, sleep well.
That was
like,
so creepy.
Okay, oh my God, you just made yourself a creepo, man. Like,
yeah.
That was weird.
Oh, man.
It was a great line, though. Great creepy line.
It was. It was a great creepy line. It was like a Kelsey Poe line.
Yes.
All right. We have to let Carly and Evan go, which is so sad.
Oh, man.
Well,
busy people. We
bid you farewell.
I could talk about this all day long.
He could. It's true. Thanks for having us on, guys.
Thank you for coming on. Aww. And we will have you back before the end of the season because you guys are great recappers. No, you have such passion.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Ben, can't wait to hang in Nashville, dude. Come on.
I'm there all the time now.
Yay.
So fun.
See you guys.
All right,
bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.
Hey, Ashley, if your skin is going to be on television but naked, you might want to make sure it's clear.
That is a really good point. And you know, it's not just face acne that people have to deal with, it's body acne. And BioClarity can help with both of those parts. BioClarity is a clean, green skincare brand that has products that just work. It's that time of year where you are wanting to get healthier, but you're also probably breaking out in areas like your chest and your back that you don't normally break out in because you're sweaty and exposed to the sun and all that. All those oils and clogged pores are happening. It's the summertime, and I can help you get a routine that's going to work for not only your face, but your body. It's called the Essentials Routine, and it's for normal or dry skin. It's a three-step regimen that is packed full of detoxifying and calming nutrients, antioxidants, and a super special ingredient, Floralux, which was derived from plants. And you can find Floralux, this special ingredient, only in BioClarity products. It's absolutely more than just a cleanser. It nourishes, soothes skin, and it helps with redness, hyperpigmentation, and evens out your skin tone and texture for a healthy glow. There are three steps: cleanse, restore, and hydrate. Their products are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, and artificial fragrance-free. They also have a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. So to get healthier skin, more radiant skin, you could start now by going to BioClarity.com. And right now, our listeners are going to save 40% on skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off everything on the BioClarity website. It's an incredible deal. You just got to enter our code FAMOUS at checkout to get this 40% off. So go to BioClarity.com. Get 40% off skincare routines plus an additional 15% off everything on their website when you use our code FAMOUS at checkout. It's definitely a skincare routine that Ben and I really love, get the best feedback from our listeners from. In fact, Ben, I don't even think we've gotten a bad review as far as BioClarity goes, right?
No, nothing that I've seen. I'd be surprised if we did.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So check it out, you guys. All right, I'm not done talking about nakedness, Ben, because Luke got fired up over it. Luke was like, I didn't appreciate this. I don't even know that I'd want to take a girl home that recently went naked bungee jumping with another man. And I feel like a lot of people want to get at Luke for that. But if you really think about it, and you're sitting down with like your boyfriend, your husband, your fiance, and you're like, oh, I mean, I guess if I was in his shoes, I probably would feel a little bit weird about that as well. I think Luke goes wrong completely in telling her what she should do with her body and what she can't do and what he, because he does not have the right now to tell her any of that, to give his opinion on any of that. This is her thing. She's leading it, her body. But I mean, I guess I can understand it being a little bit weird taking home a girl who's already been naked within the past 2 weeks with another man.
Can we sit here and talk about this just back and forth for a bit? Because I feel like this is an interesting conversation and one that I've thought a lot about even since last week when we got the teaser, right?
Yeah.
Ashley, here's my thought. I agree with you. I think it's weird. This is one of those times where the show's format and real life kind of collide.
Right.
Because he's feeling like that is his girlfriend. And he's mentioned that, like, hey, this is my girlfriend. And she also is, because of the format, dating other men and exploring those relationships. So it's going to get weird. It just is. And so I think how we look at this is, yeah, if I had a girlfriend and we've been dating for, let's even say, a month. I don't know how long the show has been going on right now, but let's say a month. And she comes to me one day and she goes, hey, funny story. Like, I was just bungee jumping naked with a dude. Like, I'd be like, I don't think I like that. Like, yeah. I don't know if I feel great about that. I think, like you said, so from Luke's perspective, and we've kind of talked about this all season, and it's actually been kind of interesting how many comments we've gotten, and one of the first times ever on this podcast where people have gone, you need to be meaner to Luke P. Like, you guys are being too nice to him. You're understanding him too much. Like, he's doing crazy things. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's the reverse for us.
Yeah.
But I think in this situation, I can see his thought process. And I think here's where I want to talk to you is, how did he communicate it poorly? What is your opinion on and how he communicated it poorly?
He communicated it poorly by calling what she did a mistake, especially a boneheaded mistake. I know that later in the episode, he tried to backpedal on that and be like, no, I was talking about future boneheaded mistakes, not this one being a boneheaded mistake. But that is absolutely where he went wrong, because she's like, it wasn't a mistake. It's actually something that I'm really glad that I did. And we have to respect that she's glad.
It feels like to me, there's a great book that I've read multiple times now, and I tell anybody to read it, and I've talked about it here. It's called Scary Close. And Scary Close is a book really on relational communication and how we relate with people and relationships. And there's a whole two chapters about manipulation and how all of us at some level are manipulators. We just are in our own ways. It feels like to me, one of the things that Luke P has done consistently throughout the season is he has tried or attempted or has manipulated situations where he brings in guilt and shame to very bad emotions to situations to try to get his way. And then when he is confronted on it by Hannah or the other guys, he backpedals.
Oh, absolutely. Quickly. What he did here. Yeah. He totally shamed her and then backpedaled the following day.
So even with, like, I'm thinking here, like, I can only really relate with my own personal circumstance. So say Jessica, she comes to me one day and she's like, hey, I was in this situation, you know, all of a sudden this work event happened and this guy and I had to do a speed dating round. I'd be like, yeah, I don't love that. But my follow-up question would be like, well, how did it make you feel? Why did you choose to do that? Like, what is it like? And then hopefully I could, if I was uncomfortable, I could follow up with, hey, Jess, like, this makes me feel uncomfortable. Why? And then we would respond. Like, we would converse and talk about it and communicate about, you know, those things. I think in this situation, I was upset with Luke. And this is one of the first times in a long time that I was like, dude, this is like dangerously bad, is because he went at her with shame, which is a terrible approach. And one that if I was Hannah, honestly, call it whatever, he's home. He's going home that night. I never want to date anybody that resorts to confrontation and pushes me into a corner of shame.
I think that if he wanted to talk about this, he could have been like, whew, that makes me feel a little, it makes it like, it hurts. I feel jealous, but I know that it's what you wanted to do. So I'm glad you did it.
It's, right? It's a moral. Yeah. I mean, it's a moral line that he's calling, right? I mean, call it from whatever. I'm assuming it's coming from something in his faith background or his conservative approach to life. And I don't want to tell somebody where their moral standards should fall. I think we work through that in life. But if that is where his moral standards fall, that he's uncomfortable with this situation, there are right ways to approach it. Mm-hmm. And he went about it in a very dangerous way. And for as nice as we've been to Luke P, maybe the last couple weeks, he was wrong. And this is the scary wrong.
This was the week where I was like, okay, no, done. Come on. You have to eliminate him because there's no reason to keep him around anymore. She doesn't have fun with him. She doesn't even seem to like him. He just makes her angry. Well, this is the first rose ceremony where I go, I don't get it anymore, Hannah. I don't get it. I can understand you keeping him around for initial sparks, for that feeling that you had when you guys first started dating. But now I don't feel like you're in with him. And I don't think that you're ever going to feel better about him again. He just makes you angry. I don't get it.
I don't love either, you know, the talk. I think at one point, and I know where that's coming from as well, he says comments like, your body's a temple.
Well,
of course it is. I mean, it is a temple, and it is something that we should all hold to a high standard. We should love our bodies and respect our bodies. But at what level? I never quite got the parallel between your body's a temple and what you did was wrong. Like, if anything, she was just comfortable in her skin enough to say, screw it, I'm going to do this.
Right.
I think there it was another moment where he was using faith as a weapon. And I'm not okay with that, Ash. Like, this is where it gets really personal to me. And I was sitting last night with my family watching this, and I was like, the show makes me laugh a lot. And I get in, you know, we do this podcast and we talk about it a lot. And I spoke a little bit about this last week, but last night, again, it gets me angry because I love Jesus. Like, Jesus is the rock to my life. And nothing I do makes sense without my belief in a God. But that belief in a God is never used for shame, guilt, or as a weapon. And it makes me angry that the idea and the perception that we're sending from this show right now is that as a Christian, these are the normal responses we should have towards people. Like, they show him praying. They show him in a this gets really personal to me. And as for women out there, like, hey, and maybe this will be controversial. I don't know if I would love that my girlfriend did that either. Like, yeah, quite honestly,
no, I think that's fine for you to say.
But don't at any level make anybody, especially when it comes with the right intentions, to feel shame or guilt or that they should hide in a corner and like in an apologetic way because they made a decision like this. Like, and it's scary for me what the public is seeing from his mouth or hearing from his mouth right now and how they're relating that to the God that I love so dearly.
So you just don't, you want to make sure that people know that Christians are not all like Luke.
Well, none of us are the same, right? And Luke, I'm not going to question his belief in God. Like, I don't know that side of him. I don't know where he stands with his faith. All I know from what I've seen is that it's used now on a few occasions to be a weapon or to bring on shame or guilt. Like, his moral standard is the standard he sets his stake in. And then everybody else that doesn't equate to that somehow is wrong. And that's where I want to draw the line and say, not every person that has a moral compass feels this way or would communicate it in this way.
I want to go back to something you said. I probably wouldn't want my girlfriend doing this.
Yeah.
Luke keeps telling Hannah, you're perfect. You're the girl I want to marry. But he's just saying those things because...
Well, it feels like it.
He just doesn't know her. And she's maybe probably proving that she's less conservative than he'd want a girl to be. And yet he, of course, keeps saying things like, I want to marry you. You're my perfect girl. I think she's proving that she's not your perfect girl.
Well, let me get personal for a second. And I've never talked about this publicly. So let's go to Lauren and I for a second.
Okay.
Somebody that I think we both had a mutual love for each other and a mutual respect for each other, right? Now, we were not Luke and Hannah. We got along for the most part, right? But there was a time in our relationship towards the end that and it wasn't even lifestyle choices. It wasn't decisions that we were making. We could just tell that we weren't clicking. Like, the things I would do, maybe she wasn't a fan of, but just didn't really enjoy. And the things that she would do, maybe I didn't enjoy, or things I would do on occasion would annoy her, or maybe things I would do every day in my life would annoy her. And we just realized at that point there was a lack of compatibility. We weren't the right partners for each other. We weren't bringing out the best in each other, that our relationship was more frustrating than it was uplifting.
Right. And that's exactly what we're seeing between Hannah and Luke on a smaller scale.
On a smaller scale. Now, I don't want to compare Lauren and I to Hannah and Luke. We have a lot healthier relationship than that. But I think all of our listeners out there could say, if they've been in a few relationships, could say, hey, I've been in a relationship that we wanted it to work, that everything aligned for it to work. But at the end of the day, we were not compatible, that our conversations ended up in frustration as much as we didn't want them to be. I look back to a few weeks ago when Luke had his one-on-one. Hannah went into that wanting to have a great time with him, and it ended with both of them being frustrated for whatever reason. That happens in relationships. And at that point, Ashley, once again, I think it's a good teller of this isn't going to work.
Which is why it's super weird that she keeps giving him a rose, because they have proven to be completely incompatible.
Let's open this up to the listeners. Listeners, why do you think Hannah continues to keep him around? I don't want to get emails on, oh, the show is making her.
Because I don't think they are.
I don't think they are. What is it about Luke right now that you think Hannah is still intrigued by or thinks it could work? Is it just the frustration that brings her back? Is it the fact that she has unfinished business with him, or that he still has a pull on her in some way? Whatever it is, I want to hear your thoughts in as much detail as possible. Ashley and I want to read those this week at BenAndAshley@iHeartMedia.com.
Ben, there's one more thing about the naked stuff that I want to talk about. The other guys made it seem like they were okay with it, especially Tyler. And I think it's kind of wacky to be like, oh, it's totally fine and chill about it. It was like totally great. I'm really happy for her. It's okay to express some jealousy, some annoyance, some, ooh, that really fired me up. I don't know that I even think it's 100% okay to be like, oh, I'm so chill with it. Because that, does that show that you're not like super into her? Because you didn't have a tinge of jealousy in that moment. I think like it's cool to be like, I respect whatever decision she does with her body and all that, but like to not even show a little frustration with the date.
Good point. Well, and I wonder if there's two things to that. One is that he feels that Tyler and the rest of the group sees that there's so much shame and guilt right now on Hannah about it, that they're going in the opposite direction. Like, okay, at the end of the day, I care about this woman. I like this woman. Maybe I'm falling in love with her. I know now with, you know, my relationship, I don't want Jessica to feel shame or guilt or to feel down and out, especially over a decision she's made with the best of intentions. And so maybe Right. Those guys are going the opposite way, saying it's not even a battle that I even want to get into. Like at the end of the day, this is going to work out like it needs to work out in the end anyways. The second,
I think if that's the case, and it probably was because they know to stay away from Luke P drama, that that's probably what it was. And that's really, it's great. All I can say is that on Crystal's season, Britt came back from her date with him and said, and then we took a nap and then the cameras left and we went to his room and we slept together, just took a nap and ate food and talked. And we were all admittedly fired up over it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I remember back in the day, the famous episode where Caitlin and Sean had their moment kind of in front of me. And definitely were kissing, and I was fired up. Like I was jealous. I was envious. I was everything. Like it wasn't okay. But I think the way Caitlin and I discussed it made it at least understandable, because when we sat down, it was, you know, why was this a decision that you made? Where do I stand in your life? Like, can we talk through like what your thought process was and where do you want this to go from here? Like ideally, where do we go from here? And it all worked out. Like at the end of the day, when I was let go in Ireland, that no longer was a concern of mine because we had discussed it. And I had become in support of her when the other guys in the house maybe would be still upset about the fact that, you know, she hooked up with Sean, or that, you know, Nick came on the show and they had a series of dates or whatever beforehand. Like it would all, like, because we had been able to talk it out, it allowed me to be in a position of support for her instead of one of with the army going, yeah, she's wrong.
Right. All right. Ooh, well, what I think an we talked that situation out a bit.
Yeah, what an interesting scenario. One of the most compelling situations that we've seen in recent Bachelor history. I think it's only going to continue for Luke P. I'm not a fan of what happened this week with him. It's a dangerous communication style. But I want to hear your thoughts as well, because I do think this will be controversial. I think there'll be people maybe not on Luke P's side on how he did it, but just the response to, would you feel jealousy? Or if you could put yourself in the Bachelor world for one episode or one season and this happens, how would you have responded? Please email us, tweet us, make sure you hashtag the Almost Famous Podcast so we can see it. Ashley, skipping over this now, as much of a conversation it is, can we go into the group date that I know you found incredibly enjoyable?
Wait, Ben, before we get into that really fun group date, I have to talk about Honey. Honey was not at that market. Not this kind of Honey. That market looked really fun. I want to go there. But this Honey is something that you can go to because you can get it online. If you've ever bought something online to only later find out that you missed a discount, I have something for you. You will no longer be overspending anymore, thanks to Honey. Honey is a free browser add-on that finds the best deals online. The app magically auto-applies the best deal to my cart at checkout. There's Amazon, Sephora, Best Buy, Nordstrom, and more. And with Honey, you don't need to worry about missing out on a deal. You just shop like normal, and then Honey handles the rest. Honey members have already saved more than $800 million. Yeah. What? $800 million have been saved because of honey. That's not bad at all for something that is completely free and takes just two clicks to install. Time Magazine even calls honey basically free money. I used it on Amazon and Banana Republic. Worked so amazing. Got my deals. There's really no reason not to use honey. It's free to use and easy to install on your computer in just two clicks, like I said. So shop with confidence. Get honey for free at joinhoney.com/famous. That is joinhoney.com/famous. Honey is the smart shopping assistant that saves you time and money when you're shopping online. Okay, how great was this group date, Ben? I mean, it was so much fun. And can we just admit that Hannah was a little bit tipsy off that moonshine? And I think it was really good for her.
It always is. I don't know how much Hannah is choosing to drink during her season, but I know for me, I chose to drink very little. I was nervous and there's a lot to do. But there was a date in Mexico where I let loose and I had a few drinks, and it makes this whole thing really fun.
She was having a blast at this market and the guys were having fun with her. You can just see like everybody's energy levels are up.
It's interesting. I feel like every point in most seasons, this group date typically goes pretty well, right? I mean, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of pressure. There's still enough guys there where you can kind of figure out who's going to go home and who's not. But I also think that we have some recourse from and repercussion from the conversation Hannah had with the guys a few weeks ago when she said, "Hey, idiots. Like, you guys continue to make this thing hard for me. Can you stop? Like, can we just have fun so we can see if this thing is going to work or not?" And I think the guys are probably still like acting in a way that, yeah, they're enjoying themselves. But she has made sure that their mindset is on having a good time, joy and fun, and not how do we make this as dramatic as possible.
Right. Exactly. The one thing I want to talk about the group date that I want to believe so much, but now Jed and his player ways, because we know we have confirmation that Jed is a player. I'm just feeling the same way about Tyler again, because he's just like a little bit too smooth with lines. He's like, "I saw you in that white dress and you were just heaven sent. And I was like, I want to make you feel special. That's the kind of woman I want to be with." I don't know. What do you think? I feel like I have my player hat is on right now. My siren is at the top of the hat. And every time I see Jed during this whole episode, it goes off. Of course. But now I think because it's sitting on my head, I'm feeling that way again with Tyler.
I want to see Tyler be real. Like, he's not saying anything of substance. And I know Tyler, I'm going to just get blown up because Tyler has a huge following. He's a good looking dude. He has a lot going for him. And there's no like red flags yet with me with Tyler. But I don't think he said anything real yet. You guys were just talking about it earlier. It feels like he says the right things. It's not hard to go into a date and say a few lines to make anybody feel special. But there's no vulnerability yet. And that's what I want out of one of these guys. Like, none of these guys have showed any vulnerability at this point. And before you all say, "Come on, this is crazy," Hannah has even said it. She said it a few weeks ago when she says, "I know nothing about you and you know nothing about me. All we do is have a good time and say the right things."
Yeah. I mean, Luke says beautiful, like pretty words. And he says things that are out of romance novels. But
Luke
No.
I was going to say, I don't think Tyler. Luke has said a pretty word since the beginning of this thing.
I have no idea why I said Luke. Tyler says such pretty things. He's like out of a Nicholas Sparks novel, but I'm just a little bit concerned now, because you know why? Because as a girl, I love to fall for things like this. And I say, I know that it sounds like he's playing, that he's said these things a zillion times to a zillion different girls. I want to believe it. Can you just let me believe it? And then I'll be watching or getting feedback from a guy, from a male point of view. And then they'll be like, "This guy is so full of beep. You know, he is full of crap." I'm like, really? Oh, you're killing my dreams. But I think that in situations like this, you have to take advice from, you have to hear the feedback from guys, because I think that they know how to spot players way better than girls.
I mean, let's all take a second here. Ashley, you're in a committed relationship with a man who loves you dearly and who wants you to feel as special as possible at any moment of the day. Now, granted, on a nice date night or on a morning that it just hits him in the heart, Jared, I'm sure, looks at you and says, Ashley, you look beautiful today. Or Ashley, like, I'm so lucky to spend my life with you. Like, but that's not happening all the time. And for the most part, when you communicate with Jared, I'm assuming it's out of vulnerability. It's out of confiding in each other. It's real life stuff. And you know that, like, the part that you love about him is not the pretty words he says.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's funny that you said that, because last night when we were talking about Tyler, he was like, I would never tell you you stood there in that white dress, you know?
It would be funny, right?
It would be laughable. So silly.
You would laugh at him. So
yeah,
I look at this and I'm saying, hey, Tyler has yet to prove to us that he's a player. He obviously doesn't. I mean, kind of like we said with the Pete situation, we look at a guy like Tyler and we shouldn't judge him for it, because he's good looking. He has a lot going for him. He's ripped. He says the right things. Our assumption is player, but we don't know that yet. But with Jed, which we'll get to later in the podcast,
so
if everybody's wondering, yeah, if anybody's wondering if we're going to talk about Jed or not, we are. It'll be at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned. We can read right through it now because we have tangible examples of it. Ashley, there's something I want to talk about, because I feel like there is one guy that has even touched the line of vulnerability this season who seems like a good dude, who I'm a fan of, and I think you are as well. He's been in our top three a lot this year. Good-looking guy. We don't see anything from him ever. And when we do, he seems to not give off a player vibe. He doesn't just say the right things. If anything, it feels like he's trying really hard just to get time with Hannah most of the time. It's Connor.
Yeah.
Why aren't we seeing anything from him?
I don't know. I mean, the only reason that I eliminate Connor in my head is because he just feels very young to me.
But is he? I mean, what is he, 20?
No, I know he's like 24. He's like her age or whatever. It's just, I don't know why I keep just disregarding him in my head. I guess it's because we're not seeing much of him.
It's a little frustrating to me, Ash. Like, it is, because I do think, and again, I'm seeing very little amount of their life. I do think Connor has shown, at least on a consistent basis, to not say the right things or try to say the right things, to try to get time with Hannah, to do small little gestures to make her feel special. And I do think that if anything, he cares enough to continue to try, and I'm not seeing anything from him. And maybe just Hannah isn't that into him, but we haven't heard that side either.
Yeah, you're right.
Again, I'm not a great judge sometimes with this stuff, but how has Connor not captured the hearts of every woman in America? I mean, Tyler has, but Connor has
it's the boyishness, I'm telling you.
Is it? I mean, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a great point. If it's the boyishness, then that makes sense.
He looks like a college kid to me. He looks like the boy next door. Tyler is in a similar way with like his looks and all that, but I think that Tyler presents himself more manly.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's a fair take. It makes sense. It just, my take from this episode is I'm frustrated because I want to see more Connor. I like Connor.
Like, Connor is not the kind of guy who's going to push you against a wall and like be like super romantic. He's going to be like the guy who takes you on like a cute date and then you hold his hand and it's cute, but he doesn't like give off sexual vibes.
Well, hey, this group date was fun. It was exciting. It was enjoyable to watch. There was great things that happened. But Ashley just brought up a great point. He doesn't give you off the sexual vibes, the vibes that will push you up against the wall or push you onto a sauna. And that's exactly what Pilot Pete did, as we talked about earlier in this podcast.
Yeah.
Pilot Pete went all out. We saw some wild things from Pilot Pete. Again, kind of like the Colton and Hannah G scene. I was watching like, hey, this is an intimate moment, and I'm glad the cameras shut the door and left, because let these two people be. They need a moment.
Oh my God, I was thinking about the cameraman so much, about how the fact that he was like probably sweaty and couldn't breathe, then had to watch them do that.
It was so intense. And in a sense, I'm going to use the word beautiful. Like, it felt real. It felt like Hannah was letting her guard down again. And it felt like Pilot Pete was enjoying the moment as well. And it didn't feel like, hey, let's just hook up and hey, we're dating. We only have a few minutes. It felt like a very intimate scenario between two people who were beginning to care about each other and who needed it. I honestly, in this whole, my only like negative from all of this is with you is the poor cameraman. What a terrible job. Like sweaty sauna, big old camera on your shoulder, and you're 10 feet from two people going at it.
I truly thought that you're right. This was more of a romantic scene than it was watching two people hook up.
I wonder what Hannah has text or tweeted quite a bit this last week about her grandfather and how big a fan he is. I think she calls him granddaddy of the show. I wonder what granddaddy felt watching this, because I watched one episode with my grandma and their response, as supportive as she is, and she was very supportive and tried to be, their response is never the right words, the right thing. Like, it's either, oh, that's sweet, or wow, like, you really like him or like her, huh? Like, it's always a thing that just makes you cringe a little bit inside because it's your grandparent and it feels weird for them to know that side.
Oh, yeah, totally. My grandma would call and like, she'd make the funniest comments after watching me on the show.
It's interesting to see the Pilot Pete one-on-one. I think he's in for the long haul. We'll see Pilot Pete for a few more weeks. We talked about it in length. Moving on now.
To Jed. He made a special appearance. He didn't have a one-on-one this week. He didn't get a rose before the rose ceremony, and this man is an expert at getting a rose before the rose ceremony. He showed up after Pete's one-on-one and serenaded her from the street as Hannah watched from her balcony, and talk about a fairy tale, right? She even said, like, this is what fairy tales or romance novels are made out of. But the thing is, romance novels usually don't have that component of having a girlfriend back at home.
Yeah, so I think this is an obvious question. And Ashley, I want to just throw it to you. Is this scene, I've honestly just made my stomach hurt. It was uncomfortable.
It was ruined.
It was weird. And honestly, I think, and here's my take, and I want to hear yours now. My take is, even if Jed, if we didn't know this about Jed still having an ex or dating a girl up until the show and telling her that he, you know, all the things he's sweet, nothings he said to her right on the moment he left, even if we didn't know that side, I still think that this moment would have made me feel weird. I don't love these, like, hey, I'm going to go out of my way to go see you, because here's my thought. And then I want to throw it to you for all of your thoughts on Jed. But for everybody out there listening, I felt this was a good moment to kind of give a behind the scenes take. As the Bachelor or Bachelorette, you spend, you know, you have 40 dates in the season. You spend 3 months close to it dating consistently. You're exhausted, like really tired. And as much as you might love people and you really appreciate the people that are there to date you and that you're trying to figure out if you could spend a life with, like, you might really love them. But even like in the most deep pieces of love, like, you need time away and you need time apart. And so here's one thing that I didn't love about this. Really, two things. One is, I don't love any dude that's or anybody that's going to show up and serenade you from the bottom of a balcony. I think that's sweet, but that gesture has been pulled off many times in history. It's nothing unique. Get over yourself. The second thought, and granted, I'm really angry at Jed right now. I'm not a fan of what he did at all. The second thought is this: if you really cared about the Bachelor or Bachelor, you know, they've been on a long date. You know, that date's been really good. You know, she's probably at home or he's at home trying to process what's been happening and what that date did. And they're also trying to rest and relax because they've got a whole nother date the next day. The last thing I really ever wanted to see and do was at probably 11 o'clock at night to have anybody else show up to my door. Because that means the cameras are back in my room. That means I'm back on. That means I'm back into conversation. That means I'm cuddling again. And quite honestly, after seeing like the Pete date, you just got after it with somebody. You don't really have the energy to get back after it again. At least I wouldn't.
Okay, so you definitely see it from the Bachelor or Bachelorette lead's point of view. And if I was in that position, you're right, I'd be pretty annoyed to finally get my alone time than have it interrupted, because alone time is very important to me. And I know it's also very important to Hannah. The only case in which I'd be down for one of my favorites to come and serenade me or spend time with me at night after another one-on-one would be if I went on a one-on-one with somebody who I was like lukewarm about, like who I liked, but who I was probably thinking about others while I was with. And then if one of those others showed up at the end of the night, I think it would be able to confirm my feelings for them a little bit more. And it may just be nice to be like, oh, somebody that I like really am excited to see and really am excited to touch. Jed, I'm tired of this song though. It's like, get a new song, buddy. But now, of course, I say this because I'm annoyed with him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
everything seems contrived. Everything just is so yucky to us now. It's so annoying because this would have been a romantic moment, at least from a girl's point of view. maybe Ben's right though. Maybe it has been overdone, but it would have been romantic and it would have been everything that we'd wanted to see. We probably would have like passed out due to like all the swooning. But the entire time we're like, what a phony baloney, what an asshole. Well, everything's just a move for him. So, you know.
Maybe I'm envious too, because I can't sing. There could just be a little envy when I see this stuff. Is like, I'm not that guy. Like, if I stood at your balcony and sang to you, like, it's a comedy act. Like, you're going to laugh. It's going to be funny. Like, this is not going to be sweet. You're going to go, Ben, either get off the street or come up here and like sulk in your unskilled, you know, ways. I want to pause here because before we get to the end of the podcast, I have a few questions that I want to throw off to you. Okay. I was always a little hesitant on Jed, not knowing any of this, but just
no,
like,
you're right. You did say that. Yeah. You said that.
But you're a fan. Your thoughts on Jed have obviously changed. And I think it's time now in the season for us to start looking at, she's obviously into him. He's going to make it a long ways. We're as viewers now a little angry. What happens? Like, how does this play out? How does the show respond to what's been made public? What goes on from here on out? Where are we able to support this relationship at all if they're together or not?
Okay.
Based on what we know about Jed.
Before I get into that, I want to talk more about the musician thing for just 1 second. It's almost like we've seen Jed sing more than we've seen Jed speak to her. So I feel like he's like hiding behind his musician talents, you know?
Oh, but he's not there to get famous.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. Isn't it kind of crazy the way, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I'm surprised by how much they've let him perform, because there have been other musicians on this show before and they've never been able to sing this many times.
I wonder, Ashley, if at some point, because we obviously know this news of him having somebody back home came out probably during the filming of the show, after a while, I would assume. I wonder if the show is trying to show us the real Jed, and then at some point the show will actually break down and show us that he was never out for the right reasons, that they're trying to show us, oh, he was really always trying to sing. He was always trying to, you know, show his talents and his skills to her. And then at some point later on, it all makes sense when they say, oh, but he also has a girl at home. And he also was the first to say, I'm not here to get famous.
Right. I know. I agree. It could be a mechanism showing all these musical performances and very little talking between the two of them. To go back to your question, your other question, I feel like she's constantly, if Hannah ends up with Jed, she's going to constantly have trust issues. Mm-hmm. She's never going to feel like the origin of their relationship was clean. She's always going to have doubts. I don't know. To play devil's advocate, you can say, okay, he went on with a girlfriend. He went on to promote his, you know, his business basically. But he along the way found the love of his life, and no one, especially him, would have ever expected that to be the way that events turned out to be. But that's truly how he feels, that Hannah is the love of his life. I don't know if we're ever going to believe him, even if that is the truth, right?
I'll be honest. I'll have a hard time. Yeah. I will. I mean, and a little bit of cynical and a little bit of seeing this thing play out before in different past seasons. If that's the case, we should all try to get to a place of celebrating them as a couple. But I will have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm. If they are together, I know we're like really jumping ahead. We have like 5 weeks left. But if they are together, I would just, I would think that she should probably not be with him.
If they are together, Ashley, this After the Final Rose will be one of the most intense episodes of all time. Can we imagine right now, like a live episode where he sits out there and Chris Harrison questions him and the crowd boos and all those things? Like, it would be wild. Hey, Ashley, I want to close with a few thoughts and takeaways from the episode before you let us know who goes home, which is obviously Dylan and shoot, what's the other guy's name?
Didn't remember his name. Dylan and Dustin.
Dustin. Don't even remember his name because I don't think I ever heard him talk.
Poor guy. He did get a group date rose early on.
I am. I've been told by our Twitter following that I'm no longer allowed to talk about self-describing, so I will not do that. Mm-hmm. But I will bring up something else that has now annoyed me about this show and about people. And I would love to throw it out there for you and our listeners to also get mad at me about. There is this communication style that's going on right now in the season where when guys want to have a really tough conversation, they open up their original statement by going, I'm going to be completely honest here. Oh, I'm going to be completely real. Mostly it's Luke P, but Tyler also did it this episode as well. Oh, but and they always say, but in this moment, like, I just want to be completely real with you, which makes me assume that at some point you're not being completely real or at some point you're not being completely honest.
To play devil's advocate again on this one, I think it's a way of people to start a conversation, letting them know that it's not going to be an easy one and it's going to be a little bit deeper than normal. They're just like preparing them for the state of the conversation.
But as Evan mentioned, that would be fine and I would agree with you if their follow-up was about having a deep conversation. But typically the follow-up, at least from Luke P, has been about
tattling
himself.
Or about himself. Yeah.
Or about himself, like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Like, I'm, you know, whatever he says about himself, it's never this deep conversation. It's always just like, hey, in this moment, I'm going to tell you exactly how I'm feeling. Like, why do I have to say that? Why do I have to preface anything with, at this point, I'm not going to lie to you? Like, I don't know.
You're totally right. I think that people don't mean it literally. And it goes along with when people go, literally, I just ate a banana. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, no, really? You figuratively ate a banana? It's the exact same thing.
I need to know, though, from all of you listeners, because I love you dearly. You've been great to us for the last 2 years. And Ashley, I want to hear from you as well. Am I crazy? Like the self-describing thing I'm done with. I know I probably just continue to talk about it too much. This situation is a communication thing that really annoyed me and got under my skin. Is that me just being overly annoyed, too sensitive, or do I have a point?
I think
it's
a little bit of both.
So please email us at BenandAshley@iHeartMedia.com. And Ashley, what do you think?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think you're sensitive to it, but I think you definitely have a point and we should stop saying it as much as we do.
Fair enough.
How many times do we start, honestly, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, I don't like it either. It's like, oh, really? Not that. Honestly? Yeah.
We okay. should fix it. Hey, Ashley, any emails out there that we want to read?
Let's just do...
I got one real quick we can start with. And while I'm reading, pick one out here. It's from Lauren. It says, Jed's ex. I want to reach out regarding the recent news about Jed having a girlfriend before going on Hannah's season of The Bachelorette. While I'm sure this happens more than we find out about, I truly felt for this girl. I recently dated a guy who moved to Nashville to further his music career. Oh, surprise, surprise. And a few months after the move, decided he no longer wanted to be together. I decided to reach out to Haley to let her know that she's not alone and how strong she was for coming to share her story. I must say, she appreciated it more than I could have ever imagined and is one of the sweetest people I've ever talked to. Hey, just to give all of you listeners a clue, we've brought it up and you might have not listened to last week's podcast. Jed, in the news last week, it came out that he had a girlfriend going on to the show. He was texting her as he was getting on the plane, saying that he liked her body, he liked her spirit, all these things. And that when he got back from the show, he pretty much ignored her what the cool kids are calling it these days, ghosted her. So Lauren reached out to Jed's ex, it sounds like, and that Haley, Jed's ex, responded and was sweet about the conversation. That's why we're kind of down on Jed right now, or very down on Jed. He had a girlfriend back home and we have text to prove it.
Another email we have from Jessica. says, I'm a Luke P fan. I know that you guys aren't fans of Luke P, but I am a Luke P fan. Is he a total bro? Yes. Does he say things that make me say, oh, Luke? Absolutely. But do I think he's 100% there for Hannah? Yes. He definitely doesn't say all the right things to Hannah, but he does admit when he's wrong. He did give her what she wanted this week by telling her exactly how he feels. He's treating the guys with respect, even when they are tearing him down week after week. He really doesn't owe them anything but listens and responds. Has this season been the everyone is against Luke show? Yes, and frankly, I'm over it.
Fair enough. I mean, it's kind of what we were saying. Like, we don't want to be mean to the guy anymore. This whole thing is going to affect him in ways that we could never imagine. But I do think Luke has done some consistently really kind of manipulative things that has made us now say, hey, we're not a fan of this. We're not okay with this. And you can be a fan of his, or at least supportive of him and knowing that he's going through a rough thing right now.
Let me just say that she says, but do I think he is there 100% for Hannah? Yes. But I would say that I can repeat that sentence and say, do I think he is 100% there for whoever the bachelorette would be? Yes. So it's not Hannah. It's he just wants to win the bachelorette.
I cannot disagree with you, Ashley. Hey, Ashley.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
I saw a street sign today that said that over the highway, and I wanted to take a picture, but, you know, I was driving, so I didn't.
I hope you always stay in your lane. Don't look left. Don't look right. Drive straight ahead, Ashley, because when you stay in your lane, you don't cause issues for anybody else.
Yeah. All right, guys, that has been the Almost Famous podcast this week. Thank you so much for listening. We adore you guys who have been here for us for the past 2 years and 15 million downloads. Thank you so much. I've been Ashley.
And I've been Ben.
See ya.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.